Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Psalms chapter 23, from verse 1 to 6. I want to have it in the Passion Translation, Psalms 23, verse 1 to 6. Amen. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in His luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where He restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathway to God's pleasure and leads me along in His footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to His name. Lord, even when Your path takes me through a valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for You already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of Your love takes away my fear. I will never be lonely, for You are near. You become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of Your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of You until my heart overflows. Are you ready for the last verse? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go. One to go. So why would I fear the future? For Your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to Your glorious presence to be forever with You. I would like you to walk up to three people and ask them this question: who is pursuing you? Now make it three people. Just walk up to three people and ask them: who is pursuing you? Who is pursuing you? Hallelujah. Just bow down your heads for a 1 minute prayer. Father, we thank You for the entrance of Your word. Brings light, understanding to the simple. Go beyond my plans, my preparations, and do what only You can do. At the end, Your name is glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The Lord is in this room and He's mighty. I have a subject this morning. Is goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. I want to start by saying this. You know, David was a very interesting writer, or is a very interesting writer. The Bible says in his book, in Psalms chapter 23, when he started talking about the Lord being his shepherd, he talks so much about how God loves him that God says He will not want. A translation says, because the Lord is shepherding me, I will not be in want. He said He makes him to lie down in green pastures. He leads him beside the still waters. You know, when you talk about someone that loves you so much with so much intensity and precision, He says He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. And it says, for His namesake. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil, for the Lord is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And He anointed His head with oil, and His cups run over. And when He got to the last verse of that scripture, He began to say confidently, after I have tasted of this love, after I have seen the things that the Lord has done, can do, or is doing in my life, I have come to the point where I can say surely, I can say surely, because I knew that when I was going through that valley of the shadow of death, that He was with me. I knew that when I was going to the troubled waters, that He was there with me. And because of this, I've come to the point in my life where I can say assuredly, confidently, that goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's why the scripture in that verse started with surely. Surely means I am confident. Surely means I have made up my mind and nothing can change it. And I know that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. I want to ask a question. Because if you say that goodness and mercy shall follow me, it means that goodness and mercy has the capacity to move. It means that when you are moving, goodness and mercy is moving with you. It means that goodness and mercy is not inanimate. Goodness and mercy becomes, is not locomotive, is non-locomotive. Goodness and mercy becomes a person that has the capacity to move towards the direction that you're moving to. So when the Bible says goodness and mercy follows me, it means that when you go this way, goodness and mercy follows you that way. It means that when you are on that trip, in that journey, that goodness and mercy is with you. Amen. Can I have two guys, two brave, strong guys on stage quickly? Two guys. I want to illustrate something. It's the goodness and mercy follows me. Limarato simahasha. It says when you walk through, it said when I move, He moves with me. Stand this way. Why you stand this way? I am the one. You are goodness, you are mercy. So just follow my movement. It means that if I go this way, goodness and mercy follows me. And I go this way, goodness and mercy follow me. When I'm about to enter into that office to get my job, goodness and mercy follows me. When I walk into the hospital, goodness and mercy follows me. They follow me because they are not just my bodyguards. They are there to provide solution and meet me at the very point of my need. It means that the goodness and mercy becomes so, at the time I will run and the goodness and mercy will pursue me. So I leave me alone and they are still with me. Goodness and mercy is following me all the days of your life. It means on Monday when you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes, there is goodness and there is mercy. And you're asking them, what is going on? Can't you leave me alone? They say, no, my job is to follow you. I don't know anybody in the house that goodness and mercy is following. You can't hear me. I said, is there anybody in this room that you know that goodness and mercy is following you? Can you shout yes? Ah, more like it. All the days of my life, all the days of my life. The Hebrew word for goodness is tov, and tov means favor or well-being. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 31, the Bible talks, verse 31, if you go before 31 and look at the creation, as how God began to create. And when He created the land, He separated the dry land and He looked and said, it was good. And He created the sea and He said it was good. And everything He created, He had just one thing to say, that they were good. It means that nothing bad came from God. In the beginning, God had everything good. And He said to Himself, in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, and God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. At the end of the creation, He said, they were very good. The same benevolent attribute is what pursues us. It means that when God created you, He looked at you and said, you were good. Look at yourself and say, I am good. There is no evil in you. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care what you're going through right now. The intention of God is that after creation, he made you good. Say it again, I am good. So everything that came from God in creation was good. Hallelujah. The goodness of God means all that God is. It means the benevolence of God. It means everything that God is. When you are invoking God's goodness, you are invoking God's beauty. You're invoking his character. The character of God is good. The character of God is good. No evil comes from him. God is a good God. If it is God, it is good. If it is the devil, it is evil. When you add O to God, it means good. When you take D away from the devil, you have evil. So when it is God, it is always good. God is a good God. His intention for you from the beginning is that you have life and have it more abundantly. That is God's plan and that is God's purpose for you. He never misses words with it. He knows what he is doing. But time. And in Psalms chapter 100 and verse 4 to 5, I would like to have it in the Amplified Classic. It says, enter his gates. It is not your gate. It is his gate. If you look at the H is in capitals, which means that it is God's gate. With thanksgiving and thanks offering, and be led into his court with praise. The problem with us is that we always want to bring in our protocol of how to enter into God's presence. God says, it is my court. And it is my presence. And it is my gate. And because it is my gate, I will tell you how to enter. And this is how you need to enter. You enter with what? Thanksgiving in your lips and in your mouth. When you get to that door, what you give is thanks. I'm coming. I'm going somewhere with this. So he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and thanks offering. And into his courts with praise. So when I show up at the gates, I am not showing up empty. I have a key, and my key is thanksgiving. It means that when you have to open your laptop, the password to the possibilities and the endless mercies of God is the password, thank you. You begin to type THANKYOU. That is the protocol of going into the presence of God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And it says, enter his courts with praise. Enter his courts with praise. I like the next verse. Just give me verse 5. It says, for the Lord is good. His mercies and loving kindness are everlasting. So the problem is that when we read the scripture sometimes, we always believe that Psalms 100 verse 4 is the scripture we used to pray for the first day of the new month. So we show up in church and we begin to pray, which is absolutely correct. It's okay to use this verse of the scripture to pray for the opening of the new gate. But let me tell you something, the gate is not your own. The gate is God's gate. And because it is God's gate, he possesses the protocols and tells you how you need to enter into where he has opened up for you to enter. It is your job description to follow protocol so that you know that God has endless possibilities for you. He says, enter his gate with thanksgiving. And he says, why should I do that? Why should I get excited when I show up in God's presence? Why should I give thanks? Even when my body is telling me otherwise, why should I give praise when I don't have the rent for my house? Why should I thank God when I don't have food on my table? I don't even know where I'm going to get the next meal. Why should I give thanks when there's no money in my pocket? Why should I give thanks when the contract has not been signed? Why should I give thanks when I just lost my job? Why should I give thanks? And it says, for the Lord is good and his mercies endures forever. It's not about you, it's about him. If the Lord has started something in your life, get ready, God is about to finish it. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it said, he who had begun a good work in you is faithful to keep at it until he brings you to a perfect finishing. There is someone in the house that the Lord is about to finish what he started in your life. If you are the one I'm talking about, can you say yes? Enter his gate with thanksgiving, because the Lord is good and his mercies endures forever. In Psalms chapter 38, 34 and verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There is a kind of shawarma you taste and you say, this one is good. There is a kind of olubo soup that you taste and you say, this one is delicious. There are some things that you taste and they taste like sour food. Have you ever eaten sour soup before? And when it got into your mouth, you felt like throwing up. When God gives you a blessing, you will never feel like throwing up, because whatever comes from him is good. For the Lord is good. And he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In case you are still wondering why I should start saying God is good, oh, God is good, oh, calm down. By the time he does one for you, and because you have a catalog, you have a track record, because you can go to your archive and you remember in February when you almost lost your mind and God just came through for you like that. Remember the times that you were on the road and you didn't know whether to go left or right. You were in the state of anarchy, confusion. But somehow, God came through for you. Have you forgotten the time that you almost committed suicide because you felt that life was gone and off? But God came through for you. If you are here in this room and God has done anything in your life and you can remember it yesterday, can you shout yes? I serve a God who is not moved by the things you go through. Instead, the things you go through move him. He says, am I not a God who is touched by the feelings of your infirmities? I am always looking for where I will go do good. I thought God would have been conditional with creation. He would have created a couple of things and gotten to a point and said, oh, peradventure, this one does not turn out well, but let me just create it anyways. But every bit of what he created was good. They had a NAFDAC number. They have been certified. And they have been certified good. I don't care what you're going through. You are good. Say, I am good. Oh, some people here don't believe this. I said, say, I am good. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22. The Bible says, because of the Lord's loving devotion, his mercies, we are not consumed. For his mercies never fail. He said, for his compassion fail not. Fail not. Every wicked morning, I have a reason. My reason to give God thanks is not because I am qualified. I am not even qualified. I am not even perfect, because my righteousness is of him. Because I cannot do this by myself. So when I made mistakes yesterday and I still show up in the morning, it's not because I know how to be articulate in my speech or know how to plan my meals. It's just because of the Lord's mercies. It's not his mercies are new every morning. When you wake up in the next 24 hours of your life, there is a fresh dose of new mercy waiting for you. So in case you think that the mercy of today expires 11:59 p.m., listen, a new mercy is at the door waiting for you. Waiting for you to show up. Mercy represents enduring personal commitment rooted in God's unchanging nature. And God is saying, I am committed to you no matter what. Our mercy says, I am committed to you no matter what. Regardless of what you have been through or the mistakes of your past. It said, even the lawful captive shall be delivered, and plunder shall be retrieved from the warrior. It says, I am committed to you. When I think about the mercy of God, I remember sometime this year, in the month of February, I got a call from my sister, and she said to me, Ross, I touched my breast and I feel a lump, and I think I need to visit the doctor. And I said, okay, go ahead. And when she went to the doctor, at the end of the whole thing, they said she was diagnosed with cancer. And when she told me that, I looked at her and said to her, okay, so what do you want to do? She says, we will do what we know how to do best. We will follow what the doctor is saying, but we will follow God, what God is saying the more. I said, okay, take your sword. We are going to war. Tell your neighbor, we are going to war. There are some times in your life that you need to pick up your sword and go to war. Because what the devil wants to give you every morning is the negativities that does not comply with what God is saying in your life. But sometimes, take your sword and go to war. And we went to war. And we started praying. At the end of the day, she did the first chemo. And she came back and told me, bros, this thing is not like we think it is. So it is powerful. It is painful. I can't bear this. And he says, I'm going to go some more. If I go one more, I will not go again. I don't care what the doctor is saying. I said, okay, what about your husband? What is he saying? That's why you should know who you marry. He said, my husband is with me in this. He's in sync with me in this. I said, okay, we are now threefold cord that cannot be broken. I say, you know what we do? Pull up the scriptures, all the healing scriptures, put them on the walls of your room. Get those tapes, get those healing messages. Just put them in your ear. Listen to them morning, afternoon, night. Just keep drinking it. And she went for the second chemo. When she came back and she told me, like I said before, I am not going again. I said, I agree with you. You are not going again. And the husband said, you will not go again. And we got praying. We put up the showers of prayer. We prayed morning, we prayed afternoon, we prayed night, we sent scriptures, we talked about it. And when she went to see the doctor was like, you don't know what you're doing. How can you be saying this kind of thing? I'm a medical practitioner. I've practiced for many years, but this thing you are saying is not possible. And she said to the doctor, I am healed. That thing you saw is no longer there. And the doctor said, what do you mean by that? I said, it's no longer there. And she said the next day she was going to go for a mammogram. That's what they call mammogram. And when she went for the mammogram, they did not see anything there. And when she came back, when she was sharing the testimony with me, I told her it has disappeared. But she said, okay, so how am I going to do this, doctor? I said, go back to that doctor. I want him to be the one to be sure that it's no longer there. And she went back to that doctor. When the doctor looked at the result that came, and he looked at her, he had to start beckoning on other doctors. Please come and see what I'm seeing. And this does not reconcile with the report. I want to ask you a question. Whose report shall you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Why? Because God is always good. She has been declared cancer-free. When I talk about the mercies of God, I know what I'm talking about. James 2 verse 13. It says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I don't care the things that you've done, that it looks like you have become a victim. The mercy of God is coming to triumph over those things. I'm talking to someone in this side. I said the message of God will triumph over the judgment. In the name of Jesus. In John chapter 8 verse 5 to 11. The story was Moses. About the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. The woman was caught in the very act of adultery. It was certified. Facebook carried it. It was on Instagram. There was nothing she could do to deny the action or the things that she did. Have you ever been in that position where you actually committed the crime and there was nothing you could do to save yourself? And the Bible says, now Moses in the law, that was what they told Jesus. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. The mistake they made was to bring law to grace. It was grace that was strolling past, but they came first with the law. And look at the way that Jesus fulfilled that law. Just watch this. It says, Moses commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Now, they did not say this because they hated the woman or because they wanted to uphold the law. They said this to Jesus because they were looking for something to accuse him of. So Jesus knew that the actual issue here is not just this woman, it's me. So you are looking for something because you're with a woman and you came to me to show me that. He said, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger, he wrote on the ground. I don't know what Jesus was writing, but I think he was not just writing, he was rewriting. And he stooped on the ground and he began to rewrite. He began to rewrite. As on the ground. And he didn't even listen to them. He didn't do as if he heard what they were saying, but he kept writing. So after a while, so when they continued asking him, the Bible says he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin amongst you, let him cast the stone at her. And he stooped down again and began to write again. I was thinking that Jesus at that time would have said, crucify her, kill her. What am I doing here? I have to make sure that you guys are upholding the law. But mercy said no. Mercy overruled the judgment. Mercy rewrote the history. Mercy turned everything around. There is someone in this room this morning that mercy is saying no right now to you. To those things that came to accuse you, to those fingers that are pointing at you, mercy is saying no. I don't know if you are the one I'm talking about. Mercy is saying no to those accusations over your life, over your business, over your ministry. Mercy is saying no. The Bible says, and they which heard it, when he told them, if you're without sin, cast the first stone, their conscience was convicted. And they began to drop it and they go. Quickly, I want to tell us something. There are three expressions of goodness and mercy. All I was doing was introduction. There are three expressions of goodness and mercy. The first expression of goodness and mercy is that goodness and mercy, the type of goodness and mercy that pursues a believer. In Psalm 23, verse 6, talks about that type of goodness and mercy. The one that pursues a believer. I give an illustration how you are trying to stop the goodness and mercy, but they say, no, I have been assigned to you. I have been assigned to you. Another word for that following is pursuing. So regardless of whether you like it or not, I will follow you. So rather than stating that goodness and mercy is in existence alone, it is in motion, it is following, it is going towards you. It is active, it's not passive. That is the goodness and mercy that I'm talking about, that is following you around. So the first expression of goodness and mercy is the goodness and mercy that follows you. The second expression of goodness and mercy is the goodness and mercy that you pursue. And blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He was at the point in his life where he needed to pursue that goodness and mercy. I need to get this goodness and mercy. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, talking about the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, I said, and has suffered many things by many physicians and spared all that she had. And was nothing but that, but rather grew worse. Go ahead. It says, when she heard of Jesus, listen to this. She heard of Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Just like you are hearing me right now. Just as you are hearing me right now, she heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind. She came in the press behind. In other words, it was not very easy for the woman to have access to Jesus. Now, which means that in this context, goodness and mercy becomes a person. Now, the goodness and mercy becomes a person in the person of Jesus. So when Jesus was passing by, it wasn't just Jesus that was passing by. It was goodness and mercy that was passing by. And the woman had to hear, what are you hearing? How are you accessing information to reach out to the things that you need from God? The Bible says when she heard that Jesus was passing by, she went behind a press. What it means is that it was not easy for her to get to Jesus. But she pursued the goodness and mercy. She went through the press. How far have you gone to get to God? How long have you tried and you said you are not trying anymore? What are the things that have stopped you from accessing God? The Bible says she went behind a press. She went behind the press. There were too many people around him. But she wanted to get to the hem of his garment. So she wasn't concerned about what they think, what they feel, or what she was happening to her. She went behind the press. And she tried to reach out to Jesus. And the Bible says, immediately, go take to the next verse. Immediately, straightway, the fountain of her blood dried up. But there was something she did. She was not relaxing, watching Facebook and Instagram, looking for solutions from online doctors. She had heard. And her hearing was not once. She kept hearing about Jesus. When she woke up in the morning, she heard about Jesus. And it was building faith in her. And she said to herself, there is a time in your life you should say something to yourself. You always get to a point in your life where you have to say something to yourself. If I may touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. This is a man pursuing goodness and mercy. Remember, I told you the first expression is goodness and mercy following you. The second expression is you walking by faith, believing that when you reach out, you are going to touch goodness and mercy. Because all she needed at that point in her life was mercy. Nobody wants to know what happened to her, why she was hemorrhaging for 12 good years. Blood was flowing out of her for 12 years. She has suffered in the hands of doctors. And she said to herself, enough is enough. If I can pass through this press and touch the hem of his garment. And this woman with the issue of blood that they didn't tell us her name was going to look for the goodness and mercy. Where are you? And she heard, what are you hearing? And how do you want to get to Jesus? Are you the type of people that when it's raining, you say, I can't go to church, the rain is falling. There is always an excuse, a reason why you are not committed in God's house, because you are still conditional to how you want to relate with God. My question is, what are you hearing? And the Bible said she went behind a press. Now, the third expression of goodness and mercy is the goodness and mercy that lives in us. I'm excited about this goodness and mercy that lives in us. Remember, I said that goodness and mercy is a person in the name of Jesus, in the person of Christ. So he lives in us. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 12, from verse 4 to 7, and 4, 7 and 10, it says, and when he had apprehended, you know, they apprehended Peter. You know that? Because they killed James and they were excited about the killing, and he wanted to prove to them that he's working, that he's doing well. He's a performing governor. So he needed to pick Peter. And the Bible, I just want to cut the long story short because of my time. The Bible said, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, quickly, quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. And when they were past the first and the second, they came unto the iron gates that leaded unto the city, which opened of his own accord. Stay with me. And they went out and passed through on one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. There are three different types of doors. The first type of door is the door that you apply pressure to open. When you get to this door, you need to apply pressure. I need to turn the handle of this door so that the door can open. I either need to use a key or I use something to open it. That is the first type of door. The door that you apply pressure. There's a second type of door. It's the door that rotates. Have you seen that type of door? That it keeps turning around and you wait for that Kairos moment. Then you jump into it and it carries you to inside the bank. Have you seen that kind of door? Can I have a witness in the house? Answer me now. Can I have a witness in the house? That's the door that rotates. It keeps going around. You are waiting for the right time to jump in. You are waiting. If you mistakenly miss the timing, you can hit your face against the door. And because you didn't get the timing, it's the door that waits for Kairos moments, waits for timing. You are waiting. Sometimes you have to wait a while before you can find an entry into that door. But there is a kind of door I want to introduce to you this morning. There is a door that opens on his own accord. It means that when you show up in front of that door, it just opens. Welcome. Why should the door open on its own accord? Because the one that is coming to that door is a carrier of goodness and a carrier of mercy. When you show up in that door, the door slides open. It needs a sensor. It needs to detect you. When you show up in that office, because you have come, the door opens. Because you have come, the door opens. There is someone in this room this morning. You have tried the key to the door. You have tried the rotating door. It has not worked. I have good news for you. Today, you are walking through the door that opens on its own accord. In the name of Jesus. I wanted to shout, I am the one. You are going through that door. Sometimes you have to pray. And pray, and pray. Ephata, Ephata. But when you are a carrier of the possibilities of God, when you are a carrier of the mercies of God, when you are the carrier of the goodness of God, something about your fragrance. I was sometime in Abuja, and one of my pastor friends gave me a perfume gift. And when I got the gift, very expensive gift, and I asked him, why are you giving me this gift? Do you know what he said to me? I am not giving you a perfume. I'm giving you a fragrance. I said, hey. He said, because when you smell it and pass, people will turn around to look at you. There is a fragrance you carry when you are carrying Jesus on your inside. It means you cannot lose. It means you cannot. I don't have a witness. I want to have a witness right now. It means you cannot fail. It means you cannot falter. Anywhere you show up, the door Ephata. There is someone in this room. You have toiled all you could. You toiled in January. You toiled in February, in March, April, May, June, July. You are asking how this Christmas is going to be for you. I have good news again for you. If your amen is loud, your door is opening in the name of Jesus. I have come to a point in my life when I understand what mercy and goodness of God can do for me. So when I got a grip of this revelation and understanding, I connected it with Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, where it said I should come boldly. So what it happens is that anywhere I show up, I don't come beggarly. I come boldly. I come boldly to the throne of grace. Alamunde feletesa. It means that anywhere you show up, that God is getting ready to galvanize and connect men for your sake. It means that whatever you do in your life, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. If God is in you, if God is at work in you, if Christ in you is the hope of glory, it means that no door can be shut before you. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, every door that has been shut before you, every door that has been closed before you, at the presence of the glory and the presence of God in your life, I command the door open in the name of Jesus. A great and effectual door has been opened unto us, but there are many adversaries. We know that the door is kept open perpetually. But I have to tell you something this morning. If you don't know who you are, the devil will tell you who you are not. You are not your past. You are not your mistakes. The fact that you sleep in a garage does not make you a car. It is a phase that you're going through. If God be for you, no man can be against you. I want to have that confidence from this morning that I know who I am. I am not just a carrier of the little things that happen to me. I'm a carrier of the goodness, of the mercy of God. I love the mercy of God and the goodness of God that pursue me. I love the one that chase after me. He's chasing after me. No matter what I got to do, he's chasing after me. I also love the goodness of God that I chase after. When I chase after the goodness in the place of prayer and I begin to ask the Lord by faith to do something for me, but I so much love the goodness of God that is inside of me. It means that when you show up, doors open for you. Tell your neighbor, just show up. You are not preaching like you like. Tell the person, just show up. Now the person is, look at the person at your back and tell the person, just show up. You've been in the backside of nowhere for too long. You've been waiting for trying the keys and the door has not opened. You've been waiting for your time and your turn for promotion in your office. You've been trying to lobby and talk to one or two people so that you can get the contract. I'll have the good news for you this morning. You don't need to lobby anymore. All you need to do is to engineer yourself. Begin to guard yourself in your most holy faith. When you pray in the Holy Ghost and begin to charge up yourself, anytime you show up in that place, because you are a carrier of the mercy of God, the door. I have to prophesy to just 10 people in this room. Before the end of November, I didn't say December, every closed door in your life is opened in the name of Jesus. Your amen still sounds like you are still about to believe me. I said to 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 people, in the name of Jesus, every closed door is opened in the name of Jesus. I don't care how your January has been. I don't care the things that you lost. I don't care the door that was shut before you. I don't care the things that were denied and declined of you. It is my news I'm bringing to you. By the mercy of God and by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost, that when you show up in those places, the door is opening. Your door is opening. Your gate is opening. Your door is opening. Your gate is opening. I don't care how your January was. I don't care how you started the year. The beginning might be small, but your end shall have a great increase. There's someone in this room, you've been asking God, how can this be? Since I know not a man, except the Holy Ghost shall overshadow you, and what you shall carry shall be a holy thing. I have a good news for someone in this room. The Holy Ghost is overshadowing you right now in the name of Jesus. Shout yay. There is always a time in a man's life where you have to take the bull by the horn and say, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not taking the recyclings anymore. I'm not taking the retrogression anymore. This is the first Sunday in the month of November, and I have made a decree and a declaration over myself that every door just needs me to show up. When you go back home, those places that you have gone before and they said no to you, when you go back home, Monday morning, dress up, Wear your shoes, spray your perfume, and just show up. The lecturer victimized you and said you will not graduate. We're going to do something in 2 minutes. After that, I'm going to close. The lecturer victimized you and said you will not graduate. When you go back to school, get to his office, knock, and just show up. You have tried all you can. The business has not worked. You've closed the shop a couple of times because you feel that this is never going to work. Go back and open that shop because it's going to start working from today. Everything and anything that has never worked in your life, by the power of God in this room this morning, I command them to work. Ephata. Ephata. In 2 minutes, you're going to pray. Hold the person's hand that you're sitting beside and begin to decree Ephata, Ephata. Anything closed in your life is opening right now. Just hold the person's hand and say that prayer like your life depends on it. Kabara no mako sepalada. All I need to do is just to show up. Hey, I come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't care what your situation is. Can you be on your feet with those hands so holding? Be on your feet because this is a serious prayer. And say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command door open, door open, door open, gates open at my arrival, at my presence, as I show up, as I show up, as I show up, and door is opening. Rate kapara tamanda, ebeledege bende, beledege boso pronto kaposha, eso pala kapasa, pala daga basha taya, le reto kaposo pondo brohose taya, ey kaladaga parada. Lift your voice and shout, the door is open. The door is open. The door is open. A door is open. I carry goodness. I carry mercy. I carry the grace of God. In the name of Jesus, I am not limited. I am over and beyond. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If God be for me, no one can be against you. In this month of November, the doors are opening for you.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.